Welcome to Conscious Voices, a weekly program dedicated to bringing you alternative points of view into challenging popular assumptions in order to help you be better informed and civically engaged. I'm Evan Davis, your host again for this edition. This past week, a coalition of community activists, clergy, civic leaders, and elected state and local officials joined civil rights attorney Sean Walton in announcing a group petition to the U.S. Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the Columbus Police Department and the city administration based on allegations of systemic racism and malpractice, excessive uses of force, discrimination both on the job and in hiring, and flawed policies that contribute to the growing distrust and alienation between the Columbus Police Department and citizens, especially non-white citizens. It was a historic occasion, as there has never been such a broad coalition in the black community in Columbus, united around a specific cause, and it comes on the heels of a number of police killings of black citizens, including Casey Goodson Jr., whose family is being represented by attorney Walton, and Andre Hill, whose killer in that case, Officer Adam Coy, has been arrested and charged with the murder, and the killing of Makia Bryant, a 16-year-old black woman who had called the police for assistance in a personal conflict she was having with two adults, who she indicated were attacking her. Mayor Ginther, sensing a movement afoot to get the Department of Justice involved, and together with City Attorney Zach Klein, also petitioned the Department of Justice for a review of policies within the Columbus Police Department. But that's not quite the same thing. I attended the press conference held at the Martin Luther King Arts Center and recorded the following audio.
Good afternoon. I'm here today on behalf of the people of the city of Columbus. And when I say the people of the city of Columbus, I mean specifically the marginalized black and brown communities that have been terrorized, brutalized, and traumatized by the Columbus Division of Police. As critically acclaimed author Will Haygood pointed out in the story that just dropped in Columbus Monthly, in order to understand the temperature of black life in Columbus past and present, you have to understand the law enforcement intrusions into everyday black life. Of course, we have the expected duties of policing, duties such as keeping the peace and solving crimes. But far too often, the engine of those police duties churns in ominous directions when it comes to black people. And that is the reality of our existence as black citizens in Columbus. That reality has been the same since 1999, when the Department of Justice came in and found that the city of Columbus and its police department were engaged in a pattern and practice of discrimination against its citizens. Patterns and practices of using excessive force, making false arrests, lodging false complaints, and conducting improper searches and seizures in violation of the 4th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution. Instead of a consent decree, which to my understanding every city in the country to that point in a similar situation had voluntarily entered into, the city of Columbus fought that investigation, and the FOP joined in that fight against federal intervention. Almost 3 years after that lawsuit was filed against the city of Columbus, a settlement agreement was reached that was grossly inadequate. And as a result, the patterns and practices discovered by the DOJ never ceased. And there was never any court order ensuring the end of these constitutional violations. That brings us to where we stand 20 years later. Over the past 20 years, black citizens in Columbus have continued to be terrorized, brutalized, and traumatized by the Columbus Division of Police. And while it took a court order in the 1980s to ensure that black officers were hired and promoted, it will take another court order in 2021 to ensure that black officers such as Melissa McFadden and my clients, Carl Shaw and Kevin Morgan, do not suffer discrimination internally within the Columbus Division of Police. A report commissioned by the City of Columbus found that over 70% of black CPD employees had witnessed discrimination. And if the City of Columbus can't protect its own black officers internally, how will they protect black citizens? We know, as we have known for decades in Columbus, that it requires federal intervention to protect this community from the terrors that we have experienced for years. I stand before you today speaking on behalf of the Columbus Police Accountability Project. This project is a black-led coalition, a coalition that is growing stronger by the day. And this coalition is made up of local legal, faith, community, and movement leaders who have decided to use our collective power to fight back against a system that protects the police more than it protects citizens. Columbus has a long legacy of police violence against its citizens and a long legacy of continued constitutional violations against black and brown people in this country. And if we're being honest, against poor people throughout this city. But unfortunately, when you're black and poor, the police seem to hit you the hardest. We are policed by people who kill our babies and then shout Blue Lives Matter at the scene or later on social media under aliases. I've had to personally listen to officers like Brian Mason, who killed 13-year-old Tyree King, repeatedly referred to Tyree as Mr. King. And even our mayor referred to Micaiah Bryant as a young woman, despite the fact that she's 16 years old. These are children, our children. And as our Congresswoman Joyce Beatty pointed out in her letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland, these are children, and many, if not all, of these deaths were avoidable. And while the community has been actively working to request that the DOJ investigate and enter into a consent decree with the City of Columbus, our mayor has announced that he has also sent in a request. Now, we differ on these requests. The mayor has requested a review of the Columbus Division of Police policies and procedures. We are demanding an investigation. We've had countless reviews, countless reports. We demand an investigation. The only cooperation that we expect from the mayor's office is to step back and to let the DOJ investigate every aspect of the Columbus Division of Police, including the leaders of the Columbus Division of Police. We already know that this police department has engaged in a pattern and practice of discrimination against black and brown people in this city, and we need action. The reality is that bad officers are supported and embraced by the city. While steps were taken retroactively after the violent police response to protesters last summer, has there been any real accountability? No. Instead, we are currently, on behalf of 26 plaintiffs, suing the City of Columbus, and the City Attorney's Office is vigorously defending those actions and those officers. The same goes for the tragic murders of the past 2 years. Henry Green, Tyree King, Jerron Thomas. Those are all deaths that have been in litigation for years. And the City of Columbus is using our tax dollars to defend those officers and their actions. It took years before the City of Columbus agreed to compensate Carl Shaw, Officer Carl Shaw, for the discrimination that he experienced as an officer in the department. And just last year, that case settled for $475,000. We already know that this discrimination exists. And unfortunately, it is not exposed enough. And I feel the calls over the past few months, even years, asking, how does Columbus fly under the radar? The reality is there are two sides to Columbus. There's an affluent, progressive, happy part of Columbus. There's a side of Columbus that is suffering. And that suffering manifests itself in ways we blame those who are suffering. But if we are to hold the community accountable, we have to hold those who are sworn to protect and serve us accountable as well. It is curious that the city makes these public statements of commitment to reform while quietly fighting so hard against the people who are brave enough to stand up against these injustices. Has there ever been a victim of police violence or constitutional violation in Columbus that has felt real justice or accountability? No. We deserve better. It is clear none of the reforms CPD has attempted to enact, it's clear that those reforms are not enough. Considering how strongly the FOP opposes any real accountability, there's no end in sight to this terror. Therefore, we are formally requesting that the Department of Justice investigate the Columbus Division of Police, and we are submitting a letter that has an overwhelming amount of evidence supporting this request. This letter is endorsed by a wide range of community groups, leaders, and just regular citizens. And that list is growing every day. We're asking anyone willing to endorse this letter and this request to please do so, and that information will be provided. In addition to this letter, we are actively mobilizing efforts to gather community testimony that further illustrates this absolute necessity of federal intervention. And we're combining that with previous testimony and affidavits that the DOJ is aware of because of their previous investigation in 1999. That history and that present, that tells the temperature of the black life in Columbus. As a coalition, we are joining together to push for real police accountability that prioritizes the safety of all of our families, no exceptions. We must be allowed the opportunity as a city and as a community to heal from the years and years and years of trauma inflicted upon all of us by the Columbus Division of Police. And even if you have not been directly impacted by those actions, we are all suffering from the post-traumatic stress of the suffering of our brothers and sisters and our babies. As this coalition has gained form and built momentum, we're realizing that there are few things more powerful than people united. And also, that the power of the people is so much stronger than the people in power. We are demanding justice for the people of Columbus once and for all. Thank you.
My name is Adrian Hood, and I became a member of the Involuntary Club, June 6th of 2016. My son was and is Henry Green V. He was killed by two plainclothes police officers in the London community in an unmarked vehicle who many witnesses said did not immediately identify themselves. And that is very important for the community to know and understand. As my attorney said, we have been asking for the Department of Justice since I lost my son, but only to find out as I began to research that this request had already been made and that the Department of Justice did come in. And unfortunately, the community was failed at that point. I wonder if my son would be here. If justice had prevailed at that time. If our city wouldn't have spent $700,000 to fight to have things right in our city for black and brown communities. They fought against that. And we have continued to elect these individuals into this space. No more. As my attorney said, the power is with the people. And I really think that it is so important for us to understand collectively what kind of power we have. This space right here, all these individuals here, this is a blessing. Because the spectrum of individuals that are standing behind me has not happened. I have not seen it happen. But I tell you one thing, I prayed for it to happen. And I'm so thankful that it is happening. And we are standing here demanding, as my attorney said, we don't want a review. I'm not interested in another committee. I'm not interested in another level of surveys and 15 to 20 people being on these committees telling us what's wrong when we already know what's wrong. Racism has been declared a crisis. Racism has been declared a health issue. That's nothing new. What are we going to do to put action behind those resolutions? That's where we are. At this point and moving forward, it is all about action. And that's what's represented and who is represented behind me. And I appreciate y'all. I know I'm not supposed to turn around, but I have to. I have to. Because like I said, this is something that we have been asking for a very long time. And it is something that is overdue in our community. And we will not continue to settle for less. I know there are many people in this community that would like for things to stay as they have always been. And I know that I'm not on a favorite on their list. And I don't care. Having friends has never been one of the things high up on my list. I have always been one to stand for what's right and for people to do just to take care of each other and do what's right. And that is not something that is impossible for our community. We can do it, and we have to do it together. So I welcome the Department of Justice, and I encourage anyone that is watching this live to share this information with your family and your friends, because there are a lot of people out there in the community who have a story to tell. Who have a story to tell about how they were traumatized by our Columbus Police Department and how the leadership in Columbus Police Department has continued to fail. How the FOP has continued to stand for this police department no matter what they do, no matter how blatant it is. Still stand there and defend these officers. We have officers who have been traumatized. I get the phone calls. I've gotten emails. Being traumatized. And as my attorney said, if they're not being watched on the inside, what chance do we stand in the community as black and brown people? When these are the individuals that they are supposed to stand shoulder to shoulder with. So I look forward to the opportunity of speaking with the Department of Justice when they come. I hope that they call my number, and I assure you, I will have a community of people that are there ready to tell their story, because from this day forward, we fight back. And anybody that don't like it, have a seat. Thank you.
Jonathan pretty much summed up a lot of the remarks that I had prepared today. And it is unfortunate that we are here today, because Columbus now has an ongoing history of racially motivated police violence. I was sharing on an Equity Now Coalition call a while ago that the numbers now are staggering, numbers that I received from the mayor's office yesterday, that over the past 10 years, there have been 69 police shootings in this community, and 46 of those are African American. That is 66% of those shootings are Black people. Public safety must be redefined, not only on a state level, county, city, neighborhood, but also on an individual level. And I too, the Columbus Urban League, we now believe that it is time for federal intervention. You know, I normally am pretty good about talking, and I am nervous today because of the emotional trauma that's been talked about in this community. Our children are now a part of a bloodline of trauma that we should all be ashamed of, because we have day in and day out have kids who are afraid to go outside. We have young Black girls who are being adulterated before their time and misrepresented, and that needs to stop. You had the NAACP and Byron Potts years ago who have called for the DOJ to come into the city, and no one would listen. And it wasn't until now that all of a sudden there is this intervention that is coming from our public servants, and that's not acceptable. So the National Urban League has developed, and I think this goes beyond just the federal intervention, the National Urban League has developed a comprehensive framework for criminal justice advocacy, and it's called the 21 Pillars of Redefining Public Safety and Restoring Community Trust. And part of that really entails collaborating with communities to build a restorative system. That's all of my brothers and sisters that are standing behind me. Demanding accountability, which is what this group is all about. Changing divisive policing policies, which we know are in place. Requiring transparency, reporting, and data collection, so that these individuals, like the one that's still police officer, that is still sitting there after they just settled that $400,000 case, Attorney Walton, the police officer who offended those officers who made the racist comments is still sitting in his job at the Columbus Police Department. I don't understand. I don't understand. We must also improve our hiring standards and training. We cannot have individuals who are afraid of Black and brown people sitting on the Columbus police force. We cannot have people who are afraid, police officers, afraid of Black and brown people sitting on the police force. I want to personally say I'm standing here today because I have a 30-year-old Black son. And he is all that I have. And I want him to stay in this community, and he's ready to leave because he is afraid of Columbus police.
Thank you, Ms. Hightower. At this time, we will hear from Columbus City Council President Shannon Harden. Welcome to the podium at this time.
Good afternoon.
I want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you to Reverend Holmes, to our leader in this fight, Sean Walton, Attorney Walton, We all owe a debt of respect and honor to that man. He's been speaking out, and he's been leading us for a long time. And now as a community, we're starting to listen. Thank you, Sean. To Ms. Hood, you're right. I haven't seen anything like this either before. We are coming together. We are standing together to say no more. To President Hightower, to Hannah, to Molly, to Jasmine, and all the other organizers and organizations that are pushing our city forward, I say thank you. I'm going to keep my remarks brief because today isn't about hearing from politicians. It's about hearing from community leaders and grassroots organizations. I would be remiss if I didn't recognize other political leaders that did show up today. Representative Geralds, Representative Crawley. I would have to acknowledge also my colleague, Councilmember Shayla Favor, who desperately wants to be here, Councilmember Liz Brown, and our Congresswoman Joyce Beatty. And while it's been making headlines this week, this isn't the first folks have thought about asking the Department of Justice to come to Columbus. While it may not have been making headlines for the Dispatch, we know that for years many in our community have been asking for this, demanding this. And truthfully, it's high time that city leaders listen, including myself. We didn't get the Department of Justice to consider Columbus because of any one person. It took years of work from our community members, our organizers. It took years of over-planning, meetings, protests, lawsuits, and potlucks. My role today is to say thank you. Thank you for pushing and do not stop. A Department of Justice investigation is just the start. We need to continue advancing reform and rethink what safety means in this city. I'm happy to be with you today and will continue to work alongside community members to rebuild trust and make Columbus safe for everyone, regardless of where you live, what zip code you come from, and certainly the color of your skin. We need to continue chipping away at the corrosive pillars that lead our police force to discriminate against Black people, against brown people, and against poor people. Folks here today know that this isn't over if the DOJ agrees to come into town. This community won't be justified or satisfied until law enforcement in Columbus stop killing folks. And that's our goal. As a whole city, we can rally behind. This is our moment, Columbus. This, right now, is our moment. We have a tremendous opportunity to reimagine a safe community where safety officials, neighborhood elders, faith leaders, activists, and politicians can stand side by side and say, "This is our city. I feel safe here. I feel loved here. And I'm proud of Columbus." We have work to do.
Thank you, President Hart. And at this time, I want to welcome to the podium Sister Hannah Abdur-Rahim. She bears remarks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah Abdur-Rahim. I'm the lead, I'm the co-founder and lead organizer for Black Abolitionist Collective Ohio, and co-founder and co-executive director for Central Ohio Freedom Fund. I'm going to admit I'm a little bit nervous today. But I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. I stand here today to represent the community of Columbus, Ohio, and I stand with a bunch of amazing people behind me. And as everyone has stated before, we have fought for this for years. We have been asking the question, safe for who? Who is Columbus, Ohio safe for? Because as we know, the most recent police killing of Makai Bryant shows that even our children are not safe. and she's not the first child to die by the hands of Columbus police and law enforcement. Tyree King, 13. Joseph Haynes, 16. These are children being murdered by the police. Sorry. So I stand here, and I'm in alignment with everyone behind me that we need outside help. So we are asking for the Department of Justice not to review, but to investigate CPD. City officials, the mayor, have continued to not listen to us for years. And now more and more people have to suffer and be traumatized by CPD, including when we stand up for Black life. We are harassed and surveilled by the police. So yes, Columbus, Ohio has an issue with police brutality, and police brutality needs to be seen as a human rights crisis, because that's what it is. And we have a list of community demands that I will read off. We are asking for the termination, arrest, and indictment of officers Jason Mead, Andrew Howe, and Nicholas Verdon for the murders of Casey Gibson Jr., Miles Jackson, and Micaiah Bryant. Revocation of the pensions of Jason Mead, Adam Coy, Andrew Howe, and Nicholas Verdon. Full transparency and accountability in investigations of the deaths of Casey Gibson Jr., Miles Jackson, and Micaiah Bryant by the hands of law enforcement. Franklin County Sheriff and Columbus Division of Police to cover the funeral expenses of Casey Gibson Jr., Miles Jackson, and Micaiah Bryant. The immediate resignation of Franklin County Sheriff Dallas Baldwin. The immediate termination of Deputy Chief Quinlan in relation to his continued negligence in holding his officers accountable for murdering, terrorizing, brutalizing the Black community and those who support them. The immediate resignation of Mayor Ginther. Commitment from Franklin County Commissioners to divest from Franklin County Sheriff's Office. Commitment from Columbus City Council to divest from Columbus Police Department. Commitment from the Civilian Review Board to investigate and hold CPD accountable for their continued crimes against the Black community and those who support them. So again, I stand here in community, and we are asking for the DOJ to investigate the Columbus Police Department. On Saturday, May 1st, we are having a national call to action to recognize that Columbus, Ohio has an issue with police brutality. So again, our question is, safe for who? Because it wasn't safe for Tyree King, and it wasn't safe for Micaiah Bryant, or Henry Green, or Jerron Thomas, and the list continues. We also invite people to share their experience, their testimony, and people's experience with Columbus Police Department starting May 1st and 4th at Columbus Empowerment Corporation at 112 East Main Street. Thank you to Kim Knights for the space. You can sign up information can be found at www.c-pap.info. And there's other locations, You can also sign up to give your testimony at St. Stephen's on 17th Ave in Linden Community on May 5th and May 12th, 6 p.m. to 8:30, and Central Community House, Saturday, May 8th, 1 to 4 p.m. So I invite everyone here to come out to our rally in support of these families and in support of the community of Columbus, Ohio. Because clearly we have seen that Columbus has had enough. Enough of the talk. Where is your action, Mayor Ginther? And I want everyone to know that as long as we continue to unite, the people united will never be divided.
That's right.
Black Lives Matter.
So the beauty of a coalition is that we all have diverse viewpoints. We all have diverse perspectives on how to achieve what we believe is our ultimate goal of police accountability and safety for all. Hannah spoke for a broad segment of the community that believes that that's their position. I can't speak for everybody. We don't have a platform set with regard to that type of thing, but what we want is justice. And what I'll say is that if he cannot deliver that justice for this community, then I personally will make that call.
Sean, what do you see as the difference between a Department of Justice review versus an investigation?
So a review, as you saw with Mayor Ginther's letter, outlined certain things that they invited the DOJ to come in and take a look at. There's a list of things that we all know. We've had these reports and these recommendations already. We already know that this injustice against our community is present. It's been present. And so we can just cut off anything before 1999 because that's been established. DOJ investigated. They found a pattern in practice. They sued the city of Columbus. So in the last 20 years, what's happened? It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. And so the difference is there's an urgency with the DOJ coming in. The DOJ has to come in because every day that we do not have federal oversight of this department is another day where our community is not safe. And that's the difference.
What would federal oversight look like if that should come to pass? If the Department of Justice does oblige and does an investigation and their findings are similar to what they were previously, what actions will the Department of Justice likely take versus what can be done at the local level to implement their recommendations?
So, again, this is not an end-all be-all because it's going to take continued effort. It's going to take reinvestment by the city into this community to heal the decades of trauma. With regard to the DOJ, the hope is that there's a consent decree or there's a court order and court oversight that requires the city to implement certain changes and certain restructuring of the Columbus Division of Police. We have, again, outlined so many continued issues with this department, and there have been countless reports, the Matrix Report, you know, these different reports that have found hundreds of recommendations for things that need to happen, but they're not being implemented. And so a court order, it forces the city to implement these things with urgency. There's a timeline on that. Right now we have no timeline without that court order, as we saw in 1999 when there was no court order and things just continued on and on. And so I will also point out that Newark, New Jersey, they've been under a consent decree, and I saw a report that last year not a single officer fired a shot. That's our goal, is that our community is safe and that there's not an urgency to shoot when there's a black life, but you do everything you can to save all lives when you respond, not just a single life.
Does it help that the prosecuting attorney, Janet Jackson, filed those Department of Justice, is now sitting on the Citizens Review Board?
I'll say that, again, we need federal oversight because the current reforms in place, the current structures in place aren't enough. There are clear limits. Even the Civilian Review Board cannot have true power without the FOP changing their contract. And so with regard to Ms. Jackson, I don't have a personal opinion there. I wasn't here back then when that happened. I've listened to the folks who came before me, the great civil rights attorneys in this city that did the work to try to push things. And what I'll say is that we had a settlement agreement, not a consent decree. We need federal oversight because the city does not have the power to reform the department and provide safety to this city, that safety that this community desperately and urgently needs.
What does it mean to have Council President Shannon Barton, and he spoke on behalf of other council members, standing in solidarity and in unity with the coalition?
So as you see, I mean, this is something that people have repeatedly said has not happened in Columbus. This unprecedented unity and this singular focus on federal oversight for this Columbus Division of Police. And so it means a lot to have these elected officials, you know, Council President Hardin, State Reps, Geralds, and Crawley here in support of us because it's going to take all of us. We know that this is going to require legislative action on top of that federal oversight. It's going to require people like the Urban League, the NAACP, to continue to use their platform and their resources. It's also going to take this city, this entire city, because what you see up here is a representation of what has come in about a week. But it's going to keep growing, and it's going to keep pushing. And as I stated earlier, the power is with the people. And the people have far more power than the people in power. So ultimately, that's what we need, justice for the city.
As awareness of the coalition's efforts continues to spread throughout different demographics of the city, how can supporters add their name to your letter?
Yeah, so again, you can visit that website. I'm still learning it. So www.c-pap.info. And that's one option. Also, you can email, I believe, info at, what's the website?
ohorganizing.org.
Info at ohorganizing.org.
Regardless of the outcome, if there is a consent decree, how do you build trust with the African American community and CPD? And would you accept the outcome regardless of what happens?
So, no, we're not accepting any outcome. We're not accepting just the DOJ investigation. We're accepting reform as a result of that investigation. But also, in terms of rebuilding trust, there's multiple levels there, right? We can start with the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police. Countless times they come out after a killing, and they speak up in support of the officer. They never stand with the community. They put out public statements where they say they're waiting for all the facts to come out, and they issue internal letters to their membership saying that they'll only speak out if it benefits their membership. And I've seen those letters. I've witnessed press conferences. I've witnessed press conferences in the past where Henry Green and Tyree King were called criminals by the FOP. And so, in terms of building trust, we rely on the police to protect and serve us. But our community is afraid of the police. Many people do not call the police. When people have illegal weapons in the streets, it's because they have to protect themselves because they feel like the police won't protect them. And so as I said earlier, it's a manifestation of many things when we have this violence against our bodies and our communities, and even the rising homicide rate. As you see, time and time again, there are so many witnesses to these murders, and they see no accountability. So again, how can we try to deter others from using these violent methods when they see what they believe to be injustice and no accountability? So in terms of healing this trust, the community is here. We're asking for help. We're asking for folks of all colors, no matter what color you are or what color you wear. If you wear blue, we know your life matters. Acknowledge that our lives matter and that we're suffering. Stand with us. That's all we're asking for, is empathy. I heard a great statement the other day, and that is, black men are gentle. I'm gentle. I'm not a threat. I deserve empathy and I deserve safety in this city.
Sean, do you think Columbus was on the path to getting the DOJ to come in on their own? And do you think that the mayor called them in hopes of preempting some investigation and getting a gentler, to use a word, response from the government?
Absolutely, and that is why we are standing here today making sure that they understand it's an urgency. We demand an investigation, not a review. And so it was inevitable because the community has been building this and building this and building this. And the topic yesterday was curious because the community has been working on this and having active conversations, as you see, across the spectrum. And this press conference was planned for a few days now. So ultimately, it was inevitable. And many times across the country, what you'll see is mayors across the country try to step in front of that in order to ease the tide and not be on the wrong side of history. But unfortunately, history has already been written, and you cannot change history.
My name is Calvin Heston. My connection to the community is my grandson is best friends to Adrian Hood's son. I got the call when her son was murdered by my grandson. I was on the scene and talked to the jump out boys. To this day, my grandson has to deal with that. And I have to deal with him. And he has to deal with Columbus Police. Do you realize the pain that this community has had to endure just by worrying about our kids on a day-to-day basis. It is a travesty that we have to deal. It is sad that we have to wake up each day fearing for the life of our kids. That is a sad day in Columbus, Ohio, people.
Absolutely, and Mr. Harrison, your work and your commitment is appreciated. I've known you for years. I've known your passion. You've held me accountable before you knew who I was, and I appreciate that. What you heard was him express a trauma that's felt throughout this city. We've all heard it. We've all seen it. Those stories aren't told. The stories, the surrounding community that witnesses this injustice and sees no accountability, has no mental health counseling as a result, they have to go to school. When children are killed by the police, entire schools are affected, communities are affected, families are affected, and that pain doesn't go away. There are many people throughout the city that are still fighting. Ms. Darson, Trey Darson's mother, he was killed in 2006, and she is still fighting. And so what we're demanding is that the DOJ come in and hear these stories. And that's why it's important that we have this community testimony to add to this request to show. It's not just the lawsuits. It's not just the reports. It's not just what we know. It's the untold stories of Columbus that we need to finally be heard.
Does the coalition see the policing reform proposals as a package of reforms that are separate from the larger context that includes lack of funding for other social services, gentrification and displacement of populations, inadequate services that can prevent conflicts and lift lives? Or is this simply a milestone? Is this the immediate concern, and will the coalition be addressing those other issues as well?
Well, you know, again, the Department of Justice would hopefully force the Columbus Division of Police to enact those 21st century policing models that we have yet to do so, despite the fact that those were put out in the Obama administration. So we are behind the curve by so much that it's important that any investigation also looks at the budget and the allocation of resources and figures out how to provide more social services, more counseling responses, and the things that these families need to heal. You know, for example, Root. Root is one of the organizations that has endorsed this letter, and they do a lot of great work providing support for families. So there are entities that are doing this work and doing the things that need to be done in conjunction with this investigation. And we've been doing that work, and it's not going to stop. We need federal intervention to stop the police from violating our rights, and also we need citywide support and resources placed in organizations like Root and other organizations that are doing the work to help us all heal together. We are expecting an indictment. It has been over 5 months to this point. And even though this is not a direct Columbus Division of Police issue, it is related because Sheriff Dallas Baldwin is a product of the Columbus Division of Police. So it's a culture of policing in Columbus. And so as we have racism as a public health crisis, we have to acknowledge that permeates the sheriff's office as well. And they're on notice as well as the Sheriff Baldwin. So the current status is that Jason Mead is still employed. Jason Mead is still receiving taxpayer dollars. Casey Goodson Jr. was shot from behind 6 times entering his home, and there's no explanation from it. And so Sheriff Baldwin needs to explain why Jason Mead is still employed, first and foremost. And beyond that, we are expecting an indictment because the evidence is overwhelming in that regard. But also, there's a lot of attention paid to Casey, and that is rightfully so. Same with Andre Hill. But it's important that we recognize that the DOJ is needed to come in because there are so many stories that were covered up. And you'll see that in our letter. The Critical Incident Response Team of CPD has never treated a police-involved shooting as a criminal investigation. They have a rule to never place an officer in the back of a cruiser. They have standing agreements with the FOP to only ask certain questions. It is a cover-up from the beginning. And so that's why we have never seen indictments. That's why it's new that officers are getting indicted. But the stories aren't new. They just have not been properly investigated. So a DOJ investigation goes back further than any lawsuit can go because of statutes of limitations. And it also works to heal the trauma that people like Mr. Harrison and others have experienced and never had that justice. Seeing no more questions, feel free to reach out to us. This is not the last you'll see of us. Again, this coalition is building and growing by the day, and we have every belief that it will move this city forward, heal this city, and we look forward to working together with the entire community as well as with the Department of Justice to get the safety that this city deserves. Thank you.